Good morning and welcome to Mid Morning. I'm Lynn Ford. Thank you for making Mid Morning part of your Tuesday. 90.3 WBCL thanks you for your financial support and the area businesses that team with you, like Forgotten Children Worldwide in Bluffton, assisting abandoned, vulnerable, and trafficked children around the world. Find out more on our business partners page at WBCL.org. Dr. Mitch Cruz is with us today. He joins us the third Tuesday of every month. He's the author of Restoration Road and host of the TV show The Restoration Road. Go to MitchCruz.com for the complete list of stations airing his show and for more information about his ministry. You can also link to Mitch's website from the mid-morning schedule page. Well, way back in January, we began what we're calling Love, Learn, Live the Word, an invitation to memorize one verse of Scripture each month, and then during that month, asking the Lord to let you know Him through that verse. That prayer will open up more than you can even imagine. So far, we've memorized Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Exodus 23, you shall have no other gods before me. 2 Samuel 14:14, like water spilled on the ground that cannot be recovered, so we must die. But God does not take away life. Instead, He devises ways so that a banished person may not remain estranged from Him. And then last month, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You can go to the Mid-Morning homepage, click on Regular Guests, and then Mitch Cruz for the worksheet that explains why he chose that month's verse, unpacks its meaning, and then gives a practical way to live the verse. Good morning, Mitch Cruz.
Good morning, Lynn.
So our next verse is found in a book of the Bible that's become a treasured friend to you and one that you read every day. I wondered how quickly we would get to Proverbs. I should mention that we're going to talk about this for the first 20 or 25 minutes and then open the phone lines, and you can ask Mitch anything you want about the Bible, a different verse that maybe has you stumped or you want more understanding of, or an application of the Bible to something in your own life, but also what it means to be a follower of Christ. So whatever it is that's got you challenged in life, that's a question you can ask Mitch at about 10:20 or 10:25. We'll let you know when the phones are open.
All right. Love those questions. Oh, you want me to start talking?
Yes, please.
Well,
now that I sucked all the oxygen out of the room.
Thank you for having me here today. I love it. I love being here with you. When conflict arises, the question, if you're listening today, is do you respond wisely? And let me go a little deeper. Would those closest to you characterize you as an understanding person? You see, the Bible offers us wisdom for managing conflict, including understanding that only our loving God provides. And conflict is two objects attempting to occupy the same space at the same time. When this occurs, we absolutely have to have wisdom. So Proverbs 9:10 is the restating of the theme of Proverbs from 1:7. And so Proverbs 1:7 and 9:10 are the boss verses of the entire book of Proverbs. A lot of people look at Proverbs and you think it's the most loosely outlined book in the whole Bible, mm-hmm. but actually it is the tightest outlined book in the whole Bible. Very solid and tight outline as it moves through. So here's Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord, referenced by Solomon in this restating of the theme of Proverbs, is humility or reverence, and it's toward God. Always has an object, and it's toward God. Bending the knees of our hearts to God leads to wisdom, and wisdom is God's heart intersecting with street smarts. It's ironic that our solution to conflict is two objects that occupy the same space at the same time. It's a picture of the cross, the vertical God's heart intersecting with the horizontal street smarts. And so Solomon communicated that a person with understanding or insight, that's a definition of understanding, a simple definition of it, is led by the Holy Spirit. He said, knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Knowledge is intimacy. It's my innermost being experiencing God's.
Okay, stay there for a second,
yeah.
Because this is a kind of a new thought here.
Okay.
for me and for others, maybe when I think of knowledge, I don't think of it in terms of my innermost being experiencing somebody else's.
Right. We think about it as head knowledge, smarts. Mm-hmm. And we do the same thing with wisdom, but they're defined much differently in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word for knowledge, the root word is da'at, and it's the same root word that's used for Abraham knew his wife and they conceived. Now, it's not sexual intimacy, but it's all the time. But it's mm-hmm. a picture of intimacy and how the word is used. And even in the Greek, it's an experience. It's an experiential term. It's not just head knowledge or mental assent. So it really makes that verse pop. Mm-hmm. And it, you know what it does big time is it shifts us from religion to relationship. Because you can read that verse and think, you know, I got all this knowledge, I got all these moral choices that I'm really good at, but that's not what this is about. Wisdom is predicated on a fully surrendered relationship with the God of the universe. You can apply these principles and some things might work out for you, but principles void of a personal relationship with God are not wisdom.
Can you go back to the verse, Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, mm-hmm. and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, and restate it with what you've just shared with us about knowledge? Is there a way to do that?
The Amplified Bible, according to Mitch. Humility, surrendered to the Lord, is the first step of God's heart intersecting with street smarts in our lives.
Okay.
And intimacy with the Holy Spirit is insight into every single person you encounter.
Could you do that again if I asked you to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Humility is reverence toward the God of the universe. That is the first step of God's heart intersecting with street smarts. And intimacy with the Holy Spirit is insight into every single person you encounter.
All right, we're going to memorize the one that's found.
Fine.
You can memorize the version that Mitch just gave, the Amplified version, but the verse that we're actually using, Proverbs 9:10, is that the New American Standard that you're using for the verses that you're choosing for us, or NIV?
That's a great question. It's the NIV.
Okay.
But 2010, they changed so much that sometimes I go back to 84 because it's just what I'm familiar with,
okay.
and I don't want to like mix and match, but I still do that sometimes.
All right.
Anyway.
Very good.
Great question.
Continue on.
For those listening, NIV is a phrase-by-phrase translation, and NASB is a word-for-word translation, and you would think that word-for-word would be clearer. Now, it has a lot of help and tools in understanding the word, but phrase-by-phrase tries to take an effort to not lose the context. Just a very short thing, a little sidebar. For example, context determines meaning. If I say I'm going to the bank, you think I'm going to the financial mm-hmm. institution on the corner of 7th and Main, okay? If I'm in a lake and I say I'm going to the bank, I'm going to shore.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm on a basketball court and say I'm going to the bank, I'm going to my signature move. So context determines meaning, and that is the number one tool in interpreting scriptures. Oh, where are we?
Well, the sentence knowledge is intimacy, one's innermost being experiencing another's. I took you off the road on that.
No, it's great. So our solution is two objects occupying the same space at the same time. And wisdom is not merely a principle. It is a person. It's a person of God in Christ. Paul writes that Christ is the wisdom of God. So Solomon communicated that a person with understanding or insight is led by the Holy Spirit. We all want to be Spirit-led, and what we're getting from this verse today is one of the greatest tools to do that. So knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Knowledge is intimacy. We talked about that. And so knowledge is a relationship where two hearts connect through trust. In order to be understanding, we must trust in the Spirit of God with all our hearts. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but we have a tendency to go on autopilot. And we memorize these verses, and then we start trusting in ourselves. But these verses, the Bible is written, I believe, as a means for us to have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a means to a relationship with God. Jesus said, you search these scriptures and you don't realize that they testify to me. And so it's all about, you think that in them you'll find eternal life, but they testify to me, and he is the life giver. So inspired by the Holy Spirit, Solomon recorded one of the weightiest sayings in Proverbs to explain how we connect our hearts with God's. And this was on my list. I really wanted
this is the verse I thought when I opened up the email and saw that it Proverbs, I thought, oh, it's this one, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But it was Proverbs 9, verse 10.
And the reason is that is the literally the theme verse being restated. And I thought it really emphasized being Spirit-led. So here's how it works. We trust in the Lord with all our heart, and we lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways we acknowledge him, and he will make our paths straight. Rather than trusting in our own fallen understanding, we trust wholeheartedly in God, being led by the invisible power of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us understanding. Solomon went on to say that when we gain understanding, we are blessed. That's Proverbs 3:13, so just a few verses later. And this blessing comes in the form of intimacy with God that leads to reconciled relationships from managing conflict wisely. I would like you to think of the wealthiest person you know. And then I would ask you, is that person wise? Now I want you to think of the person with the most education you know. And would you say that that person is wise? Now I want you to think of the person who is characterized and known by reconciled relationships, really good relationships. And I would ask you, is that person wise? See, it's highly probable that you answered no to the first two, to wealth and education. But reconciled relationships tends to be a byproduct of those who are wise and Spirit-led. So we want to experience the Holy Spirit's wisdom and understanding by memorizing this verse, as we're doing with each one that we talk about this year. And I want you to recite it every day for the next month. Just get up and recite this verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Or you can memorize my Amplified Version.
You'll want to start on that right now.
Well, how do we live the Word? The determining factor of whether we are Spirit-led can be just 5 seconds. You see, I've noticed in my own life, as I read through a different translation of the Bible every year, and I pound those, I guess, 5 chapters with my reading of Proverbs into my mind and heart every morning, that the risk is that I do go on autopilot and I just recall those words without taking 5 seconds and asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? So we want to take 5 seconds. The 5-second rule is taking 5 seconds before every telephone call, every text, oh my goodness, that would change a lot of things. Every email, every encounter, every social media post or meeting, to ask the Holy Spirit simply, what do you want me to do? This focuses our hearts on trusting the heart of God, who gives us the power to understand the hearts of others and manage conflict wisely. So if you're listening today, I want you to not only memorize the verse, but live out for the next month the 5-second rule. Be Spirit-led. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit, that's understanding. That'll give you insight. Before every telephone call, before every text, before every email, before every encounter, including at sporting events where the tempers are high, before every social media post, please, before every social media post or meeting, ask the Spirit of God to lead you. Prior to words or actions flowing from your body, ask him, what do you want me to do? And you will experience intimacy with God when you do that, and insight into others.
If you've ever said, I really wish I heard from the Lord more, you know, it's been so long since I've felt that impression from him, I don't know that that's necessarily the case, but when you do this, you've made it a habit, or you're making it a habit to be listening. You know, and this will change your life. Not just, I think once you do this for 30 days, it's going to become a part of you. That's one of the reasons why Lent is such a transformative thing.
Yes.
If you, during the Lenten season, and maybe this isn't the practice in your own church, but you've embraced it, you know, on your own, wanting to really enter into an Easter season that allows you to understand the sacrifice of Christ better. And on Easter Sunday, excuse me, truly having this celebratory heart because you get it mm-hmm. on a deeper level. Because for 40 days you've done something.
Yes.
You've let something go so that you're reminded to turn toward the Lord. So I'm excited for all of us as to what's not going to happen just in us, but through us.
Amen.
I have three questions for you
that
came to mind as you were talking. First of all, why did you choose to illustrate Proverbs 9:10 with conflict as opposed to choices or something else?
Great question. In 1 Kings 3, I believe, when God appears to Solomon and he says, ask for whatever you want, Solomon actually asks for wisdom or discernment because of conflict. He said, these people are so difficult to govern. You know, I got to always make all these choices.
Moses said the same thing.
He did.
These people are really hard.
They're pretty stiff-necked.
And they want to kill me. So what are we going to do about this?
That's true. David ran into that, too. And I think David, as a father, is a catalyst to Solomon. I think the Bible tells us, I should say, that David is a catalyst to Solomon's pursuit of wisdom. Actually, David bookends Solomon's life, David's encounter as Solomon's father. So at the beginning as a child, it's in Proverbs 4, and then at the end of David's life, David tells Solomon, it'll cost you all you have, get wisdom. It's mm-hmm. priceless. So it is probably the biggest idea. I mean, love is there as well in all of Scripture, is this idea, because it's the means and the end to making us new again. So that's why I talked about conflict, is that's why Solomon asked for it, and that's why I got it.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the last part of that verse is, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we hear he will direct your paths. Mm-hmm. So would you explain it to us?
Yeah. I think he'll direct your paths toward the God of the universe. Mm-hmm. And then ways are like our steps. I think it's Derek in Hebrew. And so if my steps are going toward God, then my road or my path is going to go toward God. I think we read that verse about paths straight, and we often think that nothing bad's going to happen to me. I'm going to make perfect moral choices. And I think, again, it's so much more relational than it is religious, and that we need to get that. And that's how God transforms our hearts and uses us to transform the hearts of others.
Trust is a very familiar word to us,
mm-hmm.
like love.
Mm-hmm.
So when we read, trust in the Lord with all your heart, would you describe trust?
Yes.
For us?
You could call it weight or belief, for example. When you walked out of your house today and you hopped in your car, you didn't check every single step to see if the concrete or the floor would handle your weight. You knew, you trusted that it would. When you hopped in your seat of your car, you didn't touch it first and say, oh man, I wonder if it's going to... You knew it would hold your weight. And so... why wouldn't we do the same thing with the God of the universe, who's revealed himself through Christ and through scriptures and then through our own lives and everything around us? But you know, we don't.
Yeah.
We don't. We always want to test the concrete and test the seats before we take a step with God. And I think what I just shared there, you can apply to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 about your steps. You know, trust in him with all your heart. Now, your heart, all your heart, is an important concept, because inside each one of us, this goes back to last month's verse, is anxiety. We want to trust in God a little and in ourselves a lot, because it's what we see, and we want that. What is seen, but we need to trust in the invisible God. We need to trust in the unseen. And our lives change. It's like you said, if you want to experience intimacy with God, if you said, I want to hear from God, I want to listen to God, this 5-second rule is one of the best ways to have your whole day mm-hmm. be a conversation with God. And then here's what it does. It frees me from the burden of being a leader or lord of my own life. And it frees me to give the credit to God for everything that happens. So my whole day becomes a devotional. Every single thing that happens to me, because I was dialed into the Holy Spirit, I was Spirit-led all the way through it. Otherwise, you're going to build the testimony for your next devotional.
This ties to the second verse we memorized, Exodus 23.
Mm-hmm.
You shall have no other gods before me.
And we look at that as an idol, you know, a car, mm-hmm. a business, even a ministry, things that we bow down with our hearts. But the biggest idol is ourselves. And our Western culture tells us that that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work out every day, but every day that goes by, I'm looking forward more to that new body. It's kind of like clicking with me a little bit differently than it used to. So I think having our fixing our gaze on Christ, who's here with us now, we can experience him now. It's a, the presence of him right now, who's going to take us on the other side for eternity. That prepares us, in essence, for what forever is.
I read once, I forget which commentary it was, that described trust as to stretch oneself out fully. To stretch oneself out fully. And not long after I read that, I was babysitting for my nephew, who's now 10. So it's been a long time. But he was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 months. And so I was actually going to spend the night. My sister and her husband were out of town. And so I fed him a bottle. And before I put him in bed, because, you know, they're that sweet-smelling wonderfulness, you know. So I was in the rocking chair and put the bottle down and turned him so that he was face down on my chest. And their black lab was at my feet. It was like a Norman Rockwell painting, you know. So, but I was rocking back and forth, and he had that little bit of milk trickling out of his, you know, out of his chin. And he was dead weight. He was stretched out.
Oh, that
really
is good.
That is exactly the picture of trust, where he wasn't wondering, you know, is she going to hold me? He was gone. Just every cell of his being was totally relaxed. And that is the picture of trust.
It is. That is beautiful. That's a great illustration. That would be a great devotional. You should just write that. I'm serious.
But you know, most of us have held a baby, and we know that feeling where they are totally relaxed and asleep, and there's no doubt that they know you're going to hold them. So
absolutely,
that's what Jesus wants from us, and he's trustworthy.
He is.
Yeah.
He's the only one who really is. I read this as I'm reading through the Bible a couple days ago, and I made a note. I wanted to talk about it today. And these are Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 2:10-16. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit, capital S. The Spirit searches, capital S, all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Again, capital S there in the second one. So that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I love how it ties it all together. And so for those of you who want to go to the advanced levels, you can memorize 1 Corinthians 2:10-16 as well.
And you know what I love about that verse? It ties to Ephesians 2:10, because there are things that the Spirit of God is going to say to you that are not just for you, that you share with others. There is a word from the Lord, there is understanding of who He is, that had to give Himself to you, that it's important that the world receives that. You know, each one of us has something in the story of God to say.
Yes.
And we often think, well, those are, you know, that's what a pastor does, or that's what my favorite Bible teacher does, or that's what really smart people do, or whatever. No, this is for all of us. Your voice, the words that Christ has placed in your heart, mind, and puts in your mouth, they are important because they speak to Him.
Amen.
You know, so it goes to Ephesians 2:10. You are His masterpiece. Actually, it starts with His masterpiece. Are we? We tend to turn it around.
Yep.
We are His masterpiece, but it's His masterpiece. Are we? Because He's the subject, created in Christ Jesus for good works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
He prepared in advance for us to do.
Yes.
And then He goes on Ephesians 4. I just want to, for people who are listening, what you just said, to not pass it by, because it's so valuable. In Ephesians 4, the leaders of the church are designed to equip everybody for acts of service. So to be a priesthood of all believers, every single person who surrenders his life to Christ is a priest. Mm. You connect, you get God all over you, and then you get God all over others. That was the definition of a priest.
I think I told you when we were coming back from Italy, we were on the plane, and there was a guy that looked just like Joaquin Phoenix sat next to us. It wasn't him, but he looked just like him. And nice, nice young man coming back from the States. He'd been born in Italy and married a woman here in the States, and he'd gone back home because he and his wife were separating. He was going back now to sign the divorce papers, and he was just heartsick about it and began to tell us his story. And I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he said, "Sure." And he was a Catholic young man. So I prayed for him. And when I finished, he said, "Are you a priest?" And I said, "Why, yes, I am."
Oh,
but
sure
not in the way that you think. And had a chance just to share with him about what it means to follow Christ, and that our conversations with him, you know, that it's just talking to the God of the universe and listening for him as well. And so exciting that we are that.
Yeah.
That he equips us to do that, and we can have great courage in that because his spirit lives in us.
You talk about purpose.
Yeah.
That's the purpose.
It is 10:25. You're listening to Mid-Morning. Dr. Mitch Cruz, one of our favorite people on the planet. I want to be at his table in heaven, at least for the first 10,000 years. Then I'll switch tables. I'd like to sit with C.S. Lewis, and I have...
I can be at your table.
And great affection for... You know what? As I am reading the Old Testament, I have a whole different heart for David. I always really was drawn to him.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole thing about being a man after God's own heart, he was a humble man.
Mm-hmm.
He made some big mistakes, but he did not have a divided heart.
Right.
So, anyway.
He repented as boldly as he sinned.
His table as well, and got a whole list. Who knows? I'll be happy wherever I'm seated.
I think we all will.
Yes. All right, 260-745-9090, 260-745-9090, email midmorninglive@wbcl.org, Facebook as well, if you've got a question for Mitch, maybe about something we've talked about to this point, but this is also your chance to ask a question about what's going on in your own life. Perhaps it's relational in your marriage or as a parent, or perhaps it's a work-related question, and you really want to live as a follower of Christ, but connecting the Word of God with your life is a bit of a challenge, or you're just struggling, need to be encouraged, or whatever. No question is out of bounds here today. 260-745-9090, 260-745-9090, email midmorninglive@wbcl.org. Also, Facebook is a way to ask questions. 90.3 WBCL thanks our area businesses that team with you to support WBCL, like Dr. Gregory Souls and the mental health professionals of Cornerstone Vision Counseling and Psychological Services, providing counseling for our region. Find out more on our business partners page at WBCL.org. First question is an email that came in earlier, Mitch, and I've got a copy of it sitting up on that little stand for you, but I'm going to read it and then have you respond to it.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yes. In many versions of the Bible, Luke 17:37 is translated as, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will be gathered." But in the King James Version, it says, "Where the body is, there is also where the eagles be gathered together." Those translations paint two very different pictures. Could you explain?
Well, let's look at the context. What's going on here? Jesus is talking about the coming of the kingdom of God, and I think 21 is where he says it's in your midst, it's among you. So I'm going to try to practice what I preach here. He's talking about just in the days of Noah, days of Lot. It'll be like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife? I think she's looking back because she's longing for it. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. We made this our vision, our mission, for our basketball program that we coached. We called it Dying to Win. We need to die to self in order to be victorious. And then he gives... So these are illustrations. And then somebody says, "Where, Lord?" And he said, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. So it's just an illustration of everything that he's saying. You kind of got to look at that. What's the point? Paul writes like this all the time. He gives you the point. He'll use an illustration. And then we have a tendency to jump to the illustration and want to make it kind of the theme of the whole thing. So it's merely an illustration of the way it's going to be and the way that we are. Exactly. In our humanness.
What's the difference between our heart, our soul, and our spirit?
Great question.
Are they interchangeable?
The question is heart, soul, spirit.
Mm-hmm. The
question is, are they parallel words used to amplify one another?
And are they all eternal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or are they separate parts? It is a Greek idea to separate the parts. The Hebrew idea is that they're all one. So heart is lev or labab in Hebrew. It's lev or labab. What'd you say that was like?
Bibbidi babbidi boo.
Okay.
I speak Hebrew.
Cardiac, where we cardiac in Greek. And Paul seems to, in 1 Thessalonians, talk about them separately. And so here's what I think. The soul, almost everybody will tell you, that's the mind, will, and emotions. That's a common definition for the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. The spirit is the spark or the vertical connection to God. It's the light that John talks about that's in every human being that Christ gives. So it's Proverbs calls it a lamp. So there's this picture of it as a light all the way through the Bible, and it's our vertical connection to God. And it becomes a flame when we surrender it to Him. It goes from a spark to a flame. So, for example, there's no life without God. Nobody can come on the scene of events and actually have life without God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's God who sustains that life. So here's the way that I've taken what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians and try to put it all together, is I believe the heart would be a picture of the soul and spirit put together.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how, this is a great theological question, and that's how I came up with the acronym WISE. Will, intellect, spirit, and emotions. So that includes our soul and our spirit, and that's a definition, just something for us to grasp of what our heart is spiritually. So I hope that answers the question. I thought a lot about it.
All right. To the phones we go. Dawn is our first caller, 260-745-9090, 260-745-9090. Email midmorninglive@wbcl.org, and Facebook is the way also that you can ask your questions of Dr. Mitch Cruz, and you can ask your Facebook question either as a private or a public message. I'll be checking both of those things. Dawn, thanks for calling. What would you like to ask Mitch?
Actually, I'd just like to thank Mitch and you, Lynn, because I've been trying to memorize scripture, and it's been overwhelming just because I don't know where to start, and I'm not as young as I used to be, so it's difficult to get those wrinkles to stay in my brain. They form everywhere else, but they don't stay in my brain. But it just, especially these last, I have been really just purposefully trying to memorize them. I work from home, and so I have them up on my wall right by where I work, so I see them every day. And not only been memorizing them and then asking the Lord, like you said, to just be revealing them and how He can work through them. And I have several family members that are not saved, and the 2 Samuel verse, as I was memorizing that one, gave me so much hope, just in the thought that God is not going to just drift them away. He is going to continue to draw them to them, to Himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me, has encouraged me so much in my prayers even to Him as I lifted them up, to just continue to ask Him to continue to devise those ways to draw them to Himself. And this last one, the Psalm one, I have 3 children, and my middle son, we're struggling with conviction, just trying to, you know, we can affect the outside, but we can't affect the heart. And this scripture we have been using with him to tell him, you know, you need to ask the Lord to search you and to convict your heart. And so we've been using that to try to work through conviction with him to help him to see how some of the things that he does is hurtful. So I just want to say thank you for bringing these to the surface, and I'm excited to see how this next one is going to play out in the next month. But it's been a great tool to help me just focus on one, because I felt like, oh, I have to go week by week, but doing it month by month has really been helpful to me. And now I've got, what, now five?
Yeah.
Hidden away. So thank you.
Thank you. You are an outstanding communicator. Do you teach or speak?
I speak to my children, which
I think about that, speaking outside those four walls.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Don, you're thanks welcome. For calling and encouraging us. And I'll be praying for you and with this verse for your son, because your mama's heart is huge. And I know that sometimes you just carry a burden for your kids, and it's hard for you to kind of relax and say, you know, we have a whole lifetime here, and there will be progress, and there will be, you know, some steps backward. But the Lord's got the whole thing covered. And I love the idea of memorizing a verse at a time, because we can become so filled with anxiety about, am I doing enough to allow the Lord to work in my life? That kind of striving is so counteractive for the life of freedom that God wants for us. So the fact that you have this one verse and you're just saying, you know, Lord, I trust that you're going to do in my life what needs to be done. I can just rest in that. I don't have to worry about, you know, what you're doing in somebody else's life. And I see something great there, and man, I'd love that for my own life too, because it's a good thing. But just saying, the Lord's not going to shortchange you. He never will. He wants you to know him deeply, and he will give you what you need.
Mm-hmm. And Don, a lot of seminary professors will say, if you have no application in your sermon, you have no point. So you go from point one to point two to point three, and if you had no application in each one of those, they're saying you really don't have a point. What I love about what you said is how you're applying the verses to your life, and doing that over the course of a month really changes all of this from religion to relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
God is faithful and all of that, right? So it's just been amazing to me how you lay it down, and he just shows you everything. And it's been awesome to watch. So thanks again for your faithfulness.
Thank you. I'll keep me going another month.
Thank you.
Call us anytime. Thank you, Dawn. 260-745-9090. 260-745-9090. Email midmorninglive@wbcl.org. Facebook is another way that you can ask Mitch a question about faith and life, relationships, parenting. I love the fact that Mitch is a savvy businessman, and so if you've got a question about the workplace, which can always be challenging because, hey, people work there.
They do. Wherever you find people.
Yeah, but if you're self-employed, there's a people there.
Even in the church, I heard one pastor say that he took all the difficult people and he put them in one category, and he called them elders.
260-745-9090. Email midmorninglive@wbcl.org. And Facebook is a way to ask your question of Mitch. It's 10:38. You're listening to Midmorning. I'm Lynn Ford. Weeks ago, we talked about doubt, Mitch, and got a follow-up email from somebody who has seizures, and so she takes medication for that. And when she has her seizures, when she's in sort of a vulnerable position, the doubts really come in and haunt her. And her question is, you know, is there anything that she can do? Because the reality is, she knows the truth, but in that moment, it's hard.
I would pray. I would specifically ask God to reveal to him his heart in that moment to you. I know that when, say, I get the flu virus or something like that, I mean, you totally feel like a different human being. I think it can affect your thoughts on the inside or lack of them. And so I think we need to be part of God's redeeming everything that we have. So we, in the valley, so to speak, you still ask him for his heart. You surrender it to him. You ask him to use it to draw others to himself. And I bet you have a platform to connect with people who are going through similar things and experiencing physically and experiencing those doubts mentally. So I would ask God how he can use you to bring restoration to others in similar situations.
On our Facebook page, Nancy is asking, is this show going to be on the archive? No, we pick and choose, and the best ones go, the others don't. So far, two of Mitch's shows are up. No, I'm just teasing. He's been with us 10 years, and two shows are up. No. Mid-morning, you can find it on the archive. It's usually up by 11:30, quarter to 12 each day, and that's true for today's show with Mitch. And there is a worksheet for each of the verses that he's bringing to us that covers the things that he shares in the front 15 to 20 minutes of the show. So when you get to the mid-morning homepage, click on regular guests, and then there's a link for Mitch. Go there, and you'll find both the worksheet, and then you can link to the show from that place, but also from the mid-morning archive, which you can get through the weekly schedule.
Probably wants to hear the amplified version of the
verse. Probably so, because
I'd like to myself.
I'm going to be writing that down, and I'll tweet that, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I will go back and listen, write it down, and then put that on the mid-morning homepage so you can find it easily.
Wow.
We
I don't
like
want
it,
you to have all that extra work.
But we like it when you have to go through all the pages, because then you might find some other stuff that you like. So
that's right.
That's another way to do it. Mm-hmm. Linda's our next caller.
Hi, Linda.
Good morning, Linda.
Yes.
What would you like to ask Mitch?
I have a question. I have a medical situation where, I mean, my trust in God was just rock solid, mm-hmm. but since the doctors made a medical error, the anxiety, and so they've reduced that medication. It's looking at, like, they're looking at MS, but I'm trying not to think of it and claim it as mine. Because I don't want to fill that in my head and tell it's just definitely that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the anxiety builds up. And I'm taking it out on my husband sometimes, and because a lot of it, it's that withdrawal from that medical error that the doctor had made. And where do I go from here? Because I see, like, the humility, that spoke to me a great deal when you guys said the humility. And I didn't know if that was going to be posted on the website. But do you have any good, like, the Bible verse that I could actually memorize? Or is this one right here be one I can definitely hang on to, the one that you guys have for today?
Yes and yes. I think this one's outstanding because, again, to understand the fear of the Lord, it's reverence or humility toward God. There's two kinds of fear, a slave-like fear and a fatherly-like fear. Slave-like fear is
slave-like.
Yeah, it's fear that God will stay. This is just one illustration a theologian used. A father-like fear is a fear that he would go away. So you want that relationship where you want him to stay. And I would also think the first passage that came to my mind as you were talking was last month's verse. Was that Psalm 139, 23, 24? Mm-hmm. It all goes by so fast. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. When you mentioned anxiety, that's what I thought of.
139, 21.
23 and 24. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24.
And today's with Proverbs 9, 10.
Yes. And then, do you want a bonus one?
Yes.
I think one of the most important verses in the Bible is Jesus' teaching in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And that comes out of a context of legalism as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give you rest. I will restore you. I will
Where
make you new
one?
Again. Matthew 11:28.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Linda, before we let you go, we're going to pray for you.
And like I'm saying, that I was a teacher, and I just had to give the fall up. I served. I am still a server. Mm-hmm. And it just kills me not to be able to have the body,
the health.
They have not found the answers, is mm-hmm. what I'm saying. I need the doctors to find the answers, because there's not one facility that is agreeing with what it actually is. Mm-hmm.
So you're looking, you need a diagnosis.
Yeah.
Because they can't treat.
Oh, definitely.
Yes, they can't treat.
The unknown is what kills me.
Yeah. Well, we're going to pray for you, but before we do that, I'm just going to tell you a few things. We're going to put you on hold after Mitch prays for you so that we can get your mailing address, because I want to just kind of put this all in a little package for you and send it to you so that you've got that. And then I know that Mitch has given a lot of verses to you, but I just want to share one more, and I'm going to pray this one over you after Mitch prays for you. And it's Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and then thank Him for all He's done. If you do this, you will experience the peace of God, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. I love this part. And God will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Your heart and mind need guarding right now because you're very, very vulnerable. You know, there's a lot going on that's out of your control. And the reality is all of life is out of control for all of us at every single moment that we don't think that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's kind of what hit me too.
But you're recognizing it. You're experiencing it.
Well,
so.
I'm a teacher. I'm an educated individual. And
yeah.
Once I get through this, I want to be able to. God woke me up about 2 months ago when I was here. We were up at the cabin here where we're at. And said, God says, I have a plan for you. I don't know what it is yet, though. And that's also driving, you know, and I'm waiting for the door to open.
Now, this might be part of the preparing you for that plan.
Yeah.
So we're going to have Mitch pray for you, and then I'm going to wrap up. I'll do the amen part. Mitch, will you pray for Linda?
Sure.
All right.
God, thank you for creating Linda and bringing her on this scene of events now. And we live in a fallen world, and we're going to experience things that are different than your original design, and this is one of them. And God, yet we can have everything that happens to us be reclaimed, bought back, redeemed, and used by you to draw others to yourself. I pray, God, that you will allow Linda's life to be that beacon of light to draw others to you, that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit, God, and have her experience you in a whole new way, maybe differently than she's ever experienced you before. I pray, God, that she will feel the love of those around her, that she will feel the wisdom of the medical professionals, and God, that she will make wise choices, that she will seek wise counsel, make wise choices to find the best path of physical healing for her on this side. I pray, God, for a relationship with her husband, that they would experience gentleness, mercy, grace, forgiveness, love, so unmerited, so undeserved that it's called grace. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.
Well, I just thank you for Linda, for her call this morning, because there are others, even maybe just one other, that are living a similar life and feeling hopeless and frightened and filled with despair. So her words this morning are their words as well, and they're saying thank you to you for that. It may feel like Linda's living in the unknown. It is to her, Father, but it is not unknown to you. And her life is not in limbo. It feels like that because it's not as active as it's been. But her life right now is as meaningful as any other day in her life. So I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will surround her and speak truth to her, that you will cover her with peace and love and give her direction for each single day. Father, we pray especially for a diagnosis. That is not her salvation. You're her salvation. Mm-hmm. But we ask that you lead to that so that the next part of treatment can begin, and that is actually having a specific treatment. So we ask that for her because you say we can. We can ask boldly as we come before you. So we ask that for her. And I pray, Lord, that she will not rush through these days, that she will bring herself before you and say, what is it, Lord, that is happening today that you want to store in my heart, that I might treasure it, that in the future, for the thing you're calling me to, that this can be a part of the answer for others. This is not wasted time. So I pray that for her. Protection on her marriage, the truth will surround her and give her guidance and hope. And the things we don't know to pray, Father, I call on your Spirit who prays in alignment with your perfect will. We ask that for Linda and for her husband as well. And I just ask too, Father, for those that know her and her husband and love her, other believers that are their friends, even those that maybe are just acquaintances at church, that you will prompt them to to be your hands and feet, to love and care and strengthen Linda and her family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we're out of state right now.
Well, that's all right. You've got, you know, the Lord is not bound by boundaries, so anybody who's prompting to help you, they will find a way to do that for you. I'm going to put you on hold so we can get your mailing address. All right, Linda?
All right. Yes.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Both of you.
Lillian is our next caller, so let's go to Lillian. And we've got about 11 minutes left in today's mid-morning. So if you've got a question for Mitch, we can squeeze in one more. 260-745-9090. Email midmorninglive@wbcl.org. And Facebook is another way to ask questions. Lillian, good morning.
Good morning.
You called us last month about your son.
Yes, he died on Mother's Day.
Oh, Lillian.
Yes. It was quite a bomb. But he found the Lord. I sent a little note to WBCL.
It's in the kitchen.
Wow.
And I told him the blessings that did come out of your prayers, and I wanted to thank you all for all the prayers you offered, because there were some real miracles that happened during the period before he died. What I wanted to mention today, the devotion book that I'm reading was saying that there is... I lost it. Where was it? They asked a man how he had so much power in his ministry, and he said that the only way that he could say it, that he was walking God with God through the valley of extreme loneliness. And I wondered how you can feel so close to God when you are so extremely lonely, which I am right now going through.
I would encourage you to memorize Psalm 23, because in there David says that even though I go or walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Lynn and I have a good friend who lost an adult son, and she says repeatedly, it's not at the mountaintop, but in the valley where I grow deeper in my faith and my intimacy with God. So I would search for him. He's walking with you. He's restoring you. And he's making you new again. And it's okay to grieve. I think you should take plenty of time to grieve. In the Bible, did a message one time on this concept that Jesus taught on. And they grieve anywhere from like 30 to 70 days. I think over the next year, you'll have grief come up. But I would take that time to realize that God mourns with those who mourns. And he will make you new again. He will give you purpose. He will again allow you, seems to be the message today, he will allow you to use this as you surrender it to him to help others who are going through similar situations, that will be redeemed by him. Mm. And that he's not defeated by death. He's conquered death.
Amen. Lynn, I'm glad that you called back, because you called us last month to say that your son was dying and you had a chance to visit him and share the good news that he had come to faith in Christ. And so the assurance of a temporary goodbye but a forever reunion with your son, but to call back and bring us the update, and so that we could just pray over you one more time. You are a woman who has known great sorrow in your life. Those of you who maybe have caught parts of your story as you've called the morning show and mid-morning, and is spending time in an orphanage as a child, one of the things that you have done is responded to the wooing of God through your whole life. And so when you've had these seasons, and you've had a number of them.
Yeah, with my husband's death.
Yeah, of Byron's death, of great sorrow and sadness, that the reality of who Christ is, you call on that. And it doesn't change the circumstances, because someone is still gone for now, or there's physical illness. But what it does is, his presence is a light and a hope and peace for you in the midst of that. So for those of you who know Lillian through the radio station, and for those of you who don't, but you're just drawn to this woman who is so honest about life and is willing to talk about it, will you pray for her in the coming months as the Lord brings her to mind? Mitch, will you pray for Lillian before we let
sure.
her go?
God, I pray for Lillian that you would guard her heart, like Paul writes, in a military fortress, and that she would experience the peace that passes all human understanding as she prays to you, as she's online with you, as she listens to you. And God, I pray that she will hear your still small voice, that you were with her, that you have guided her, that you have protected her, that you have conquered death through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And God, that she would be used by you to bring your restoration to others, that she would surrender these hurts so that you can bring healing, and not just to her, but to those around her and those that she locks eyes with. I pray that every encounter will be a divine appointment that she can surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Lillian. We're going to squeeze in Annie's question, our last one for today's mid-morning. Annie, good morning. You've got a chance to ask a question about a minute, and that'll give Mitch some time to answer you. Thanks for calling us.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a parenting question.
All right.
I have an adult son who lives with me, and he is not a Christ follower. And I recently, in the last couple of years, recommitted my life, and I'm trying so hard to be a light to him. And he lives in my home, and you know, he has his children occasionally. And the situation I'm running into is, if I do not agree with his opinions on politics or various other things, you know, then I am being a judgmental Christian, and he just says hurtful things, and I need to answer him in love. And
Annie, what are the circumstances? First of all, how old is he?
32.
And why is he back home living with you?
He was in a relationship that ended, and there was children involved, and so.
So he was living with her.
Mm-hmm.
And does he have a job?
Yes, he does.
All right, Mitch.
Well, I would encourage you to read 2 Timothy 2. In there, it talks a lot about avoiding the kind of arguments that are going to turn someone away from God rather than draw them to God. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. The whole chapter is about how to win people, build them up, and send them. And so I think that would be a great foundation for you to engage with someone who differs in your opinion. Now, when he says something that absolutely cuts against the grain, and it's different than you believe, and you, in your mind, maybe you can't articulate it, but you know that you believe this because it's from God, I would still ask him more about why he is believing what he believes. Have him unpack it. The more he speaks it, the more unthreatening it is, and the more he can kind of process on his own, and you might be able to win him over without even saying a word. So I would not debate or argue or tell. I would ask and listen. How you communicate with him will probably be much more powerful than what you communicate with him. And we want to get him back on his feet and get him on his own with his children as well. So you have a rare opportunity to have a captive audience to reveal the heart of Christ.
And let me give you, I want to send you a couple of resources, at least one. The fact that he's not a believer and you are, there's never an excuse for someone to say ugly, hurtful things.
Right.
You know, and that's just a boundary issue. And so to speak up to that is not being unchristlike.
No.
In fact, doing that, sometimes love pushes, sometimes it pulls back. And so I think what you're asking for is, how do I know what to do here? How do I know when to say something and when to be quiet? And there are a couple of really great books on boundaries with kids. Alison Botke has written when she's a believer. Her son was involved in drugs. It sold them in her house.
Mine.
Okay, so he's do. See, there's more going on here, and you want to be a loving believer, and you think that yes is definitive of that, and what you need is wisdom and knowing when to say no and when to say yes. So I want to send you Allison's book, because she's been there, and she's done the, quote, loving thing, which made things even worse and sent her son further downstream with regard to more problems with the law. He has since come to the Lord, so I want to send you her book. It's Boundaries for Adult Kids. So that's a great resource for you, Allison Botke, for others who are listening and wanting that resource as well, Bottke. Another one is by Chuck Lynch on mending fences, but I think the one that will help you most is Allison Botke's, and we'll send that to you. I'm going to put you on hold so we can get your mailing address, and we'll get that off to you, all right?
Thank you so much.
You are most welcome. Thanks for calling us, Annie. That does it for today's Mid-Morning. Dr. Mitch Cruz is our guest today. He joins us the third Tuesday of every month, and we just welcome his visits. If you'd like to know more about him, his website, The Restoration Road, MitchCruz.com is where to go for that. Thanks for listening today. Ken Church is next on Family Friendly and Commercial Free, WBCL.